It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for listening all over North America. I hope you are having a terrific Friday. It's my job to get you through the next 3 hours. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer holding things down in New York City, Ray Jarvis. And thank you to you for tuning in. Everybody getting ready for the weekend, people on the highways, the byways, people making that money, people holding it down, people helping people. Shout outs to the Uber drivers, the Lyft drivers, delivery drivers, all of the drivers. Thank you for being here. We've already had a full show. We talked about Brock Purdy making his $53 million a year now. Good for him. We talked about the Knicks getting ready to eliminate the Celtics. Maybe they're trying with no Tatum. Juan Soto returning to the Bronx, New York as a member of the New York Mets. We talked about that basketball game we saw last night. The Denver Nuggets staying alive against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we have so much more to get into. How about this? We're going to be joined by former NFL player and broadcaster Solomon Wilcots is going to come through and join us in about 20 minutes. Of course, I'm going to ask him about all of the things in the NFL. Brock Purdy's new contract, what's going on with Trey Hendrickson, what's going on with Bill Belichick, what we can expect from Shador and Cam. And speaking of Shador and Cam, ain't nobody talking about Cam Ward. I think he's still in the NFL, right? He got drafted, I believe. Anyway, we'll get into that. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. Speaking of history, Michael Jordan is walking history. He's a living legend. And we found out earlier this week he's going to be on NBC as a special contributor. Okay? We got some details as to what Michael Jordan will or will not be doing. I'll share that with you as we continue on. How about this? The WNBA is back. Caitlin Clark is back. Not today. She'll be back tomorrow. She starts tomorrow. We'll get into that. So much to do, so much to talk about, so much to discuss. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. So much going on all over North America. There's so much to discuss and get into. Man, how could I even forget this? Looks like we might have a change in the NFL playoff format. I mean, between college football and the NFL, can't nobody figure out their playoffs. Everybody's trying to figure out what the situation is on winning your conference or winning your division versus what your actual winning percentage is or how many wins you got. Like, I think it should be a foregone conclusion that the best of the best should be at the top. That even if you're in a division with two damn good teams, yeah, it's tough. You got to go with the rules. You got to beat who you beat. Yeah, we should see the best of the best. Stop putting in some of these lower teams and lower competition, automatically giving them buys because they play or have won a lesser conference. Okay. That's my two cents. But I'll tell you what the NFL is thinking, specifically the Detroit Lions. They're like, do you see our division? I'm like, man, you got 14 win teams here. Man, we should get a prime spot. But we'll get into that. So many changes in football. Trying to figure things out. Speaking of figuring things out, I think he's going to be figuring things out for a very long time. He's been figuring things out for the past several years, the past several seasons. I think the past bunch of decades outside of Tom Brady, he's been trying to figure things out. His name is Bill Belichick. He's a busy guy. He's trying to sell his book, The Art of Winning, Lessons from a Life in Football. Bill Belichick was busy. He was on Good Morning America today, hanging out with Michael Strahan. Yeah, he's just doing a whole book tour a couple weeks ago. Well, we heard Bill Belichick on CBS Sunday Mornings. He didn't want to talk about his girl. His girl didn't want to talk about her. It was real busy. It was real messy. Led to a lot of commentary. People saying that his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, is a distraction. Led to North Carolina putting out a statement saying basically, oh, no, we love her here at UNC. Oh, goodness. Okay. She has nothing to do with the football program, even though Bill Belichick asked for her to be put on all of his emails. Who knows? It's probably her writing Bill Belichick's emails. Ray, could you see Belichick sitting down, sending 10 emails at a time?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
He's officially a senior citizen, so.
Oh, no.
I would say that this relationship, maybe she's just an intern and we have this all wrong, you know?
Excuse. An intern?
She's a high-paid intern.
Wasn't Monica?
JR.
What? No, I'm just asking.
I mean, you got to start somewhere.
No, don't say anything. Was Monica Lewinsky an intern?
Yes.
Okay, all right, that's it. That's it. Okay, you said it. Okay, all right. She's an intern.
That one got you stumped a little bit.
She's a working intern. Oh, that's not good either.
No.
Bill Belichick said she was his creative muse. That's what he said. Okay,
let's go. What is she going to do when he has to call plays?
She'll be watching just like me and you.
Oh, okay.
She's the creative muse. That came out of Bill Belichick's mouth. No need to think about what her role is. He told us. Creative muse. I'm going to put that on my resume. Okay. Does that work on a resume? Creative muse? I don't know.
It depends on if you want to own the books job or not.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, it looks like she's been making some real estate purchases as Bill Belichick's creative muse. And good for her. I assume she's living the good life, I assume. I know Bill Belichick. This man has made millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars as the head coach of the New England Patriots as they won 6 titles under his watch. I know Bill Belichick no longer wanted in the NFL, at least by the Patriots and the rest of the league, now making $10 million at the University of North Carolina. Got to be the university, maybe the state. Got to be the highest paid person on a payroll, Bill Belichick. Now he's going to rake in some more cash with this book, The Art of Winning. I told you he sat down earlier today with Michael Strahan. He's trying to make those sales. I assume Bill Belichick wants to be a New York Times best-selling author with this one. Bill Belichick has an explanation as to why he wrote this book.
Well, I had an opportunity to do it. I thought about it, several years ago, and it just, you know, when you're in a moment, you're in the season, it's mm-hmm. just, there is no off season. You're just running, you're on the treadmill and you're running. So last year I had a little more time to do it, and was able to collect some thoughts, brought back a lot of good memories, some not so good ones, of you sacking us and all that, but it was a great, great opportunity to, just get some thoughts on paper and, put it together. And again, it's not about how to live your life. It's kind of how I did my job. Yeah. And if there's a lesson in it for somebody, great. And hopefully there's some entertaining stories.
I like the little joke to Michael Strahan. Yeah, right. Michael Strahan getting after Tom Brady. Michael Strahan winning the Super Bowl. Yeah, good for him. Yeah. It didn't work out for Bill Belichick. Anyway. Somebody else not in Bill Belichick's book is the owner of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft. How he did his job and he had mentioned his boss one time. He said it a couple weeks ago on CBS in absolute hilarious fashion. Bill Belichick is like, listen, he's just not in the book. It's about how I did my job, not about my boss. Okay, all right, Bill. Well, at least we know Tom Brady's in the book. You can't have a damn book about how you did your job. You can forget about your boss. You hate your boss, I guess. He said he didn't fire you. It was a mutual decision to walk away. Bill Belichick did talk about Tom Brady. Listen.
After every game, Tom always was, we left a lot of points on the field. We can be better. We might win by 30 and it'd be like, we could have won by another 20. I missed this pass. We missed that play. He's always striving for perfection. And think about Tom, and you think about improvement, that's really what, mm-hmm. what football is about. You play once a week, you got 6 days to prepare, 6 days to improve and get ready for the game. Tom Brady was a fourth-string quarterback. I mean, who has a fourth-string quarterback? And ended up being the greatest player, of all time. And so that's a lot of work, that's a lot of dedication, and that's a lot of commitment and discipline. So, he's really the poster boy for improvement and consistency.
Let me get this correct. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, doesn't have a single mention in this book. Ray, am I understanding this correctly? Tom Brady has a chapter?
Tom Brady has a chapter. The greatest player of all time deserves a chapter.
Tom Brady has a chapter. Robert Kraft has not. On a scale of 1 to, I don't know, 11, how much does he not like this guy? He doesn't even have his name in a book?
I'm going to go and say 11 is, I think even cutting it short, it might be 15 or 20.
Wow. And for all of this, God bless them. They're professionals. They're grown-ass men. They played nice, or have played nice publicly. At Tom Brady's roast, which Tom Brady now says he probably shouldn't have done because he didn't think about his kids. And apparently he didn't think about that. Let me stop.
Easy now.
I'm just saying.
Well, to be fair, Tom Brady wasn't the one that pushed Belichick out the back door, you know.
I'm saying that Tom Brady, he said he shouldn't have done the roast because he didn't think about his children and the effect it would have had on them.
Fair.
Tom Brady is now divorced. And I think one of the reasons that he might be divorced is the amount of attention he paid to the household. Okay?
Fair.
I don't know. I'm not in the house. I just know that the guy who was helping her do yoga or whatever and karate is now... Isn't she pregnant with the guys? Oh, my God.
Well, she might not be pregnant anymore. But at the time when it hit fan, she was very pregnant, showing.
Oh, the baby is here?
I believe so.
Oh, my God.
And guess what? Tom Brady chose the pigskin over his wife's skin. So here we are now.
Wow. Damn. I guess he makes enough money it doesn't hurt. Could you imagine? Oh, no. Oh, my God.
I can't imagine. I would be salty. I would never be able to go to a yoga class ever again.
I'm paying you to help get my wife in shape, and you gave her a baby.
Mm. Well, at least she was doing cardio.
Maybe he should have stayed home. She told him he wanted to play for the Buccaneers, hang out with a bunch of sweaty men instead of a supermodel wife. Anyway. The Tom Brady got a whole chapter in Belichick's book. I highly doubt that anything that we just mentioned is in there. Belichick has his own issues. And of course, in the most Michael Strahan way possible, Bill Belichick was asked about his creative muse, Jordan Hudson. And apparently Bill Belichick didn't have Jordan there to go, we're not answering that. Listen to this.
She's been terrific, you know, through the whole process, and she's been very helpful to me. She does the business things that don't relate to North Carolina mm-hmm. that come up in my life, so I can concentrate on football, and that's really what I want to do. You know, I acknowledged her in the book. She was very helpful on that with the tribute pages, and also given a perspective of the book from kind of a business side. You know, sometimes I get a little football technical, and so, you know, she did a good job of keeping me on balance there.
So what did Jordan mean to you?
Well, we have good personal relationship, and you know, I'm not talking about personal relationships, Michael. You know yeah. that.
Okay, I know that, Coach. But I'm saying, are you happy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all that matters, right, for anybody. All anybody wants in life is to be happy. And Bill Belichick is happy. He's doing yoga on the beach. He's taking photos. Like he's hooking up his girlfriend, and she's a mermaid, and he's a fisherman. Like he's happy. Let's see how happy Bill Belichick is in, I don't know, November, okay? After he's coaching around these young men that he's never coached before. Bill Belichick, college, I guess at the end of his life, well, I guess his coaching career, let me say that. He's scratching an itch that needs to get scratched. Like he's talked about the relationship between North Carolina and his dad and his time there. Listen to Belichick say, hey, it's not about the girl. It's not about the money. A big part of it is, well, it's my dad.
It feels great. It really feels great. You know, I grew up around college football at the Naval Academy and some of the great teams there, especially the 63 team, mm-hmm. 60 team, great, you know, great teams and great players there, you know, Staubach, Tom Lynch, you know, Pat Donnelly and those guys. And they were great leaders, great people and great inspirations to me. And I learned a lot from watching them. And so, I've always kind of tried to make my team look like those teams, the kind of teamwork, camaraderie, communication, toughness, and resilience that those guys had. And of course, those are the days where you had two-way players, so you only had half as much practice time. So the efficiency that the coaches had in practice to get a full practice in, offense, defense, and the kicking game with the same guys was pretty good. So, I learned a lot there, and so it's great to be in college working with young kids.
Do you have to change your coaching style from pros to college?
Not too much, because they're so eager, they're hungry, they have dreams, they want to be good. I want to help make them good, and I want to help make them good on a good team. So it's really been exciting to work with these guys.
Listen, look at that. Now, that's the Bill Belichick that I know. Bill Belichick, talking football, not his personal life. Hey, good luck. I hope he really has success at UNC. And I hope we really do get to a point. And I know a lot of it is based around this book and all the media that he's done to sell this book. That there's so much emphasis on his personal life, regardless of how odd it is for a 73-year-old guy to be with somebody 50 years younger than him. Yuck. But that's his business, not mine. All the best to him on the football side of things. Okay. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of football, Brock Purdy got paid today, $53 million a year. Man, we just had the NFL schedule released. The NFL is going international. Aaron Rodgers still doesn't have a job. Trey Hendrickson, he's still looking to get paid from the Cincinnati Bengals. A matter of fact, when we come back, we're going to have a chat on the other side of the break with somebody who played for the Cincinnati Bengals. We will be joined by Solomon Wilcots. Yeah, he played for the Bengals. He was an announcer, and now he's in business. He's doing so much. The Believe in Bengals podcast. We'll have a chat with Solomon about all things NFL on the other side of the break. So do yourself a favor. And how about this? It's real simple. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And before we roll, I need to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Solomon Wilcots on the other side, JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, we just talked about Bill Belichick. He's sitting around on Good Morning America selling his book. That was early this morning. A couple of hours ago, we learned that Brock Purdy got himself a $53 million contract per year. Oh, yeah, this man went from being the last pick in the draft to being one of the most highly paid quarterbacks in the game right now. There's a lot of NFL news. We got the schedule that came out this week. We got guys who want money. There's a lot going on. We got guys who've been traded. So right now, let's talk some more NFL with someone who played in the league, someone who's been a broadcaster in the league, someone who is a broadcaster in the league. You can catch him on SiriusXM NFL Radio. You can catch him talking about the Cincinnati Bengals, the team that he played for. Joining us right now is Solomon Wilcots. Solomon, how are you?
JR, I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I know you got some cool things that are getting ready to take place. We'll get into that in a second. Brock Purdy getting his big old contract. How do you think this is going to work out between Brock Purdy and the 49ers now that they're allocating a lot of these funds to him?
Yeah, you and I both know it's already worked out with him as a player. He literally saved the San Francisco 49ers from a bad move. Remember when they drafted Trey Lance, they move up and gave all those picks up to move and get him with the third overall pick. 1 year later, with the last pick in the 2022 draft, they selected Brock Purdy. And I think he saved a lot of people. There could have been egg on their face after that move to go get Trey Lance really did fail. And all Brock Purdy did was take them to two straight NFC title games, got them to a Super Bowl. They were one red zone possession away from winning a Super Bowl had they been able to block Chris Jones. So he's more than earned the right to earn the money that he's now going to make. And I think it sends a message to all these young quarterbacks, to anyone who's drafted late or not drafted at all, that in the National Football League, a meritocracy still does exist. But you got to earn it, JR. You got to be able to ball out, man. And he did it just like Tom Brady did it. We've seen others do it, and now it's nice to see them rewarded. Now they got to be able to build a team around them, right? They got to shift and reallocate resources to other players at other positions because they are paying their quarterback $50 million a year. And by the way, for the first time last year with Jalen Hurts, a team did win a Super Bowl with the quarterback making over $50 million a year.
Yeah, you can still get that bread and still go out there and get the job done. And shout outs to Howie Roseman. We're being joined by Solomon Wilcots. You talk about Brock Purdy and where he was selected in the draft. We know that he was taken last in 2022. We just saw what took place with Shedeur Sanders. He just kept on falling and falling and falling. You went to Colorado. He just got drafted out of Colorado. What do you think the deal really was with why he fell?
Think about Travis Hunter, the way he carried himself throughout the draft process at the combine, meeting with the teams. You know, it's a process that you still got to go through. Think about Cam Ward. Cam Ward went from a school that we can barely pronounce, right? went to three different colleges and worked his way to becoming the first overall pick in the draft. But guess what, man? It's a job interview, and you have to carry yourself respectfully. You've got to convince them that you are worth that pick. And I don't know that you can take anything for granted. So I think there were a number of things at play there. I think Shedeur even said it himself. He could have handled the pre-draft process better. And I think that's where a lot of it lies. I think if he would have attacked it with the most fundamental humility, I think it would have gone a lot better for him.
The former Colorado Buffalo, former Cincinnati Bengals, Solomon Wilcots is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. There is a guy in the NFL right now who played on the team that you played for, the Cincinnati Bengals. That's Trey Hendrickson. He's looking for a deal, and he hasn't complained about it online. He's vocalized it by talking to the media. He's not, you know, being funny and I trade me that. What's the deal? The Bengals have put out so much money on the offense. Can they afford him on the defense?
Oh, they can afford it. This is not about affordability. Think about it. They end up with a team last year that had the league's leading passer, the league's leading wide receiver, and the league's leading pass rusher. In fact, Trey Hendrickson has outproduced everybody at his position over the last two seasons. More sacks, more pressures. So he's well-deserving, and yes, they can afford it. It's about whether or not will they pay him. A lot of the talk is that he's 30 years old. Today, players at 30 years old, you and I both know, that's not like it was 10 years ago. You were 30, you were really 30. They don't even go two-a-days anymore, JR. Like, the wear and tear is not the same at 30. These players take much better care of their bodies than we did some 10, 15 years ago. So I think the Bengals are ultimately going to reach an agreement with them. But it's just the erosion of goodwill, and it doesn't send, I think, a good message to the rest of the team to make him have to wait and to stir the way that they did with Ja'Marr Chase last year, T. Higgins the year before. And that's why the Bengals have gotten off to these slow starts. I think the morale of the team has suffered as a result.
It's Solomon Wilcots is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, Coast to Coast. So why do you think there is this holdup? Unfortunately, the Bengals have this reputation of being cheapskates. Like, hey, you want some water? Hey, you got to give us a nickel. Why do you played for them? Why do you think they're taking so long?
That's their style. They have their way of doing things. They're going to take the negotiation to the 11th hour. In world affairs, we call it brinksmanship, right? We take it all the way to the brink. And whoever, you know, you shouldn't be trying to win a negotiation. You should be trying to win a Super Bowl. And to me, there's a reason why they don't have any Super Bowls in that trophy case of theirs. It remains empty, even though they've been in this league for over 50 years. I played on team here. We went to the Super Bowl. We came up 40 seconds short against Joe Montana. They've been to three of them and have lost them all. Now, they've been competitive in all of them. But I think they could be a much better team perennially if they handled these situations better. Remember, Andrew Whitworth left here under the same kind of situation. All he did was go on to play five more years, help the Rams win a Super Bowl by beating the Bengals. and he was also the NFL Man of the Year. Yeah. Jesse Bates, another player who left in similar fashion. They drafted him. He performed well. They let him go to Atlanta. He's still performing well. And so I think there's a lesson to be learned here by the Bengals that they should value not just players who are productive, but players who are good citizens, who are good leaders in the locker room, and guys that are good teammates. That also holds a value just as much as your production on the field.
Your former player, current broadcaster Solomon Wilcots is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. You talk about taking anything to the 11th hour. The Dallas Cowboys are pretty much always in the same space, taking everything to the last minute. We saw them bring in George Pickens. Michael Parsons is still, not a free agent, but he's still looking for a contract. I assume that's going to take till the 11th hour too, huh?
You're right, JR. And I'm going to tell you, just like the Bengals, the Cowboys, by waiting for this 11th hour and having this idea of brinksmanship, they end up paying more. They end up paying above market. Look, we all think Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback. We don't think he's the best quarterback in the league, but he's the highest paid on a per annual basis at $60 million a year. Right. They did the same with C.D. Lamb. They waited till the 11th hour, ended up having to pay more. Michael Parsons, by waiting and watching Myles Garrett get $40 million a year, watching Max Crosby get $35 million a year, he's going to reset the market, just like Dak Prescott did. He'll be making upwards of $40 million a year. Had they signed him last year, they could have had him for $30 to $35 million a year and kept it moving. It's a player they know they're going to keep anyway.
So, Solomon, does Jerry just like throwing away extra money? Is he just out of the goodness of his heart? Like, what's the deal?
Look, Jerry's a great businessman. I'm not going to deny that. I think he is his own general manager. And I think in this case, let's just take a general manager like Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman signs his players early. The guys he drafts, the guys that develop, and he knows he's going to keep them. He doesn't wait for the market to move like you would in any business. If I had a true conversation with Jerry, Jerry would admit, by waiting, yes, I've had to pay more. I have enough money that maybe I could do that, but I think we would be able to have a conversation with Jerry. You don't have to do it that way. Look at what Howie's doing. He's putting a better team on the field because he's paying his players early at a better price, and he's able to add more later. You're paying your players late after the market's moved at a higher price, and then you're left with no money to add players later. That's why Philly has the better team. So I hope I was able to explain that as easy as possible.
And Solomon Wilcots, explanation received. Solomon Wilcots here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Hey, I got to ask you, Solomon, about one guy. We don't know. We assume we'll see him. The Steelers certainly got a lot of primetime games. What's the deal with Aaron Rodgers, and how do you think he will fit in with the Steelers? Is he going to make that big of a difference if he does decide to show up and play?
I think Aaron Rodgers is a good football player. I'm not saying he's not longer the great four-time MVP that he once was. I don't think we know that. I think over the last couple of years, he was hurt one year. He was coming off the injury last year. He never rose to that level, but I thought he needed more help. I don't think Nathaniel Hackett did him any credit. I think when you've played 20 years in this league, as he has, JR, I think there's a couple of things that set in. You have your way of doing things, and you want to do what's comfortable for you as a quarterback, and you don't want a coach bringing in any new learning that requires you to really be challenged in that way. I also think that after 20 years, you're tired of organized team activities in March, April, and May. That you want a real off season, right? Let me show up when the real work begins for training camp. You know, back in the day, that's what we used to do. We had a full off season, man. We didn't see the coaches until July.
Yeah.
And I think when you've been around for 20 years, you kind of that's what he's doing. He's not going to pick a team. I think he's already told the Steelers, I'm going to come, but look, I'm not showing up. If I do show up, it'll be in July or maybe June when the mandatory stuff starts, but you're not going to see me during the boring months of March, April, and May. I'm not doing it. I'm done with that. And he doesn't want to sound selfish. He's not going to say that publicly. But I think he wants his real time off. And I think when the real work begins, I think that's when he'll show up. Now, is he good enough to miss all the other work and still perform at a high level? That's what remains to be seen.
Well, we know. We think he thinks he does. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Solomon Wilcott's here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Solomon, I know you'll be making your way to New York City. I want to get to that in a second before we wrap up. We saw the NFL schedule released, and you talk about doing things your way. We are seeing such an explosion of the NFL. We have five countries, I believe. The NFL is going to play games in seven games, five different countries, from Spain to Brazil to Germany. What are your thoughts on the expansion of the game and the impact that it might have on the players? I mean, could you imagine back when you played the league saying, hey, we're going to go down to Brazil or we're going to go to Germany? What are your thoughts on the expansion of the game?
Yeah, don't forget, we're going to play in Dublin, Ireland, and three games over in London. You know, the league has offices in London, so that tells you where we're going with this. I could foresee us having four teams across the pond in the UK, in Germany, and maybe Spain or France, and having an entire division of four teams over there. I think this is going to happen. That's what you're seeing, growth. You're seeing a buildup of other markets. You're seeing the NFL invest in other communities in other countries to get their kids playing football, much like you saw with the NBA 20 years ago, and it's yielded good fruit. Some of the best players in the NBA are international players. I can foresee that happening in the NFL. This is about expansion. It's about market growth. I've worked over in London calling games for the NFL and doing pregame shows, helping to grow our sport. So it's a good thing. When you think about it, the very first year when Pete Rozelle signed CBS to a television contract, when they signed the rights to televise and broadcast games, the games cost CBS $4.6 million a year. That was in 1962. Now, the TV rights package is over $10 billion a year by the network. And those games are being watched and streamed all over the world. So this is about market capitalization. It's about growth. And don't you know, 55% of that revenue is shared with the players. That's why Brock Purdy is getting that big contract, because he helps drive ratings, you see? So it's a model that works. It's a model economically that's one of the best in the world, because none of the teams lose money. They offset any losses of any of the 32 teams, so there's revenue sharing. The draft is even fixed in a way to help the teams that are at the bottom, and they share the money with the workers. How about that, JR? How about that for a model?
Listen, I know a lot of people not happy about the money that the players are making, but the money is there. Solomon, I know you're going to be heading out to New York City. What's going on? Fill us in.
And I'm excited to be headed to New York City next weekend to attend the Zimmer Biomet APP New York City Open at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center. You know, everybody loves pickleball. And look, I'm going to be there really with Zimmer Biomet, the leader in knee replacement technology, to talk about sports injuries and advancement in knee replacement surgeries. This is not your grandmother's medicine, JR.
Okay.
The innovation this group is bringing to patients is absolutely great. People living with knee pain don't have to do that anymore. They should talk to their doctors. And if you don't have a doctor, you can locate more information from Zimmer Biomet by going to their website at www.pickleballknee.com. That's pickleballknee.com. It's going to be a great time. Everyone's playing pickleball. It's the fastest growing paddle sport in the country. You can play. It's a game for all ages. I don't know if you tried it yet, man, but it'll bring back your glory days, okay?
Oh, boy. Yeah, Solomon, I played a little bit of tennis growing up, man. I don't know if my knees have anything else in me. I may have to check all of that out.
You should go to the website, pickleballknee.com. Because, a lot of people living with knee pain, and they don't realize it. They don't have to live with that pain. Partial knee replacement. I'm telling you, I've had shoulder joint replacement. I was in so much pain, and now I tell everybody, the day you go ahead and get the procedure done, it's going to be the first day of an entirely new life without pain. You get vitality back. It is just incredibly awesome. So I think we need to embrace that form of technology. But go to the website to find out more information, to find a doctor in your area so you can begin to have the conversation.
Hey, Solomon, always a pleasure chatting with you. I mean, you used to hit people for a living, so if it's going to make you feel better, I'm going to follow your word, man. Okay, Solomon?
I appreciate you, JR. You're the best, my friend. Take care.
Always a pleasure. That Solomon Wilcots, a broadcaster, former NFL player, knocking folks around for the Cincinnati Bengals. Always a pleasure having a chat with him. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Caitlin Clark. I do want to talk some more NFL with these incoming quarterbacks like Shador that Solomon just mentioned. We got a lot to do, but right now, newsflash, Rich Ackerman. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, thank you so much to Solomon Wilcots for joining us in the last break. We went through about everything going on in the NFL right now. The expansion into Europe. We talked about Shador Sanders, Aaron Rodgers not wanting to show up and do extra work. I don't blame the guy. He wants to show up and do extra work. He just wants to go out there and play. You got the brain of Aaron Rodgers. You're just like, who needs OTAs? The team will catch up to me. And then if they don't, I'll blame them afterwards. That's just the Aaron Rodgers way. So thank you again to Solomon Wilcots for coming through to join us in the last break. We're minutes away, about 10, 15 minutes at the top of the hour from the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics getting ready to tip off. New York Knicks trying to eliminate the Boston Celtics and get them the hell up on out of here. The New York Knicks trying to avoid a game seven. Meanwhile, still in New York City, the New York Yankees and Mets, they're underway. They're already in the third inning. Yeah, the return of Juan Soto in the Bronx, New York, after securing a $765 million contract. Juan Soto does what he does so far. He has a walk, and he has been booed. Meanwhile, for the New York Yankees, Mr. 412 batting average heading into today, Aaron Judge has a strikeout. What a miserable bum he is. One strikeout. His batting average is now a miserable 410. Man, this is one thing I appreciate. In Major League Baseball, the way we have it today, you got all-stars who are out here batting like 230. Not catchers. I got all-stars batting 230. Hey, you batting 230 and you got, 15 home runs and 30 RBIs. Boom, you're an all-star. Like, I actually miss the value of someone being able to get on base, not just swinging for the fences every damn time that they're out there. And I know we're not going back in time, but to actually see somebody like Aaron Judge have a batting average of 410 at this stage of the season, and I get it, it's still May, but it's late. It's ridiculous. Like, it can't just be his size, it's his coordination. He came into the league, he was swinging at everything. How he continues to get better for a dude who is now on the other side of 30, he's 33 years old, is just mind-boggling. And I can imagine if he stays healthy, all that man got to do is stand there and swing and just jack home runs until he's 50 years old. Ridiculously impressive. Let's see what happens here. The New York Mets and the Yankees are at 0-0. I know people like to talk about the Dave Winfields of the world, and I wouldn't even put David Justice into here. I remember Richie Sexton. He was 6'7", built like a string bean.
Careful now with that last name.
Oh, Sexton?
The first Sexton was the first time you said it.
Oh, Richie. Well, there was two, wasn't it? Wasn't there a Richie Sexton and a Richie Sexton? There's two, wasn't there?
I only know Richie Sexton.
What did I say? Sexton?
Yeah. I did. I mean, if he decides to get into another career, then his name is built in, huh?
Richie Sexton? Oh, well. There was Chris Sexton.
Yep.
And then there was
Chris Flexen, too.
Yeah, right. Let's see. Yeah, no, it was Richie Sexton. Yeah. from the Mariners. Yeah, his name was Sexton.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, you know, he was 6 foot seven. He was built like a string bean.
And he played for the formerly Indians, now Guardians, no? Are we thinking about the same guy?
Yes, he did.
There's not a T in his name? I thought it was S-E-X-T-O-N.
No, why are you making me sound like I'm Deshaun Watson on the radio, okay? I said the guy's name right. The first name is Sexton. Richie, I remember, because he was big as Aaron Judge. But Aaron Judge outweighs the guy by like 60, 70 pounds.
Yeah, that Richie Sexton was, as you said, a string bean. And that was, yeah. Even then, that's probably being generous.
Yeah, but he went out there, I think his top year, I think he hit like 40 home runs. Yeah, he did. 45 home runs, he hit it twice. 1 year in Milwaukee, yeah, with the Brewers, the Brew Crew.
Yep.
Both years in Milwaukee. Yeah, Richie Sexton, yeah.
He had a good year, a couple of good years in Milwaukee. But that stadium is conducive to home runs.
He did. And shout-outs to Richie Sexton. I don't know what he's doing. And shout-outs to all the gigantic, tall Major League Baseball players. Randy Johnson has now taken up photography. It's nice to have a hobby. Everybody needs a hobby. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back from break, and speaking of hobbies, Caitlin Clark is back in the news. I'll tell you why on the other side. We'll talk about another bunch of young folk. Cam Moore, Shador Sanders. Yeah, we're talking about young people here. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.